Director David Cronenberg began his career making films with horrific and invasive images, but in the last few years has moved into the realm of psychological torment. His new movie, A History of Violence, is based on a graphic novel, and film critic David Edelstein says the brutality this time is both physical and emotional.
Violence is the dominant cuisine of world cinema. So any movie that pretends to critique it while serving up a scrumptilious platter of blood and shattered bone is bound to get some critics shouting, masterpiece. That's what you hear about David Cronenberg's A History of Violence. And before I go on, let me say that it is a sensational piece of filmmaking. It's staged and shot and acted and scored like nothing else this year. And it has images that will bury themselves in your brain, rather like an ice pick. I have nothing bad to say about it, except that it shouldn't for a second be taken too seriously. A History of Violence opens with a long, flat take. The camera travels along the exterior of a cheap motel, in front of which two low-life homicidal scumbags make small talk before killing an entire family, including a little girl. This happens, thankfully, off-screen, although nothing that follows does. When the child is shot, there's a cut from the gun blast to another little girl as she wakes from a nightmare, screaming. Her daddy, Tom Stahl, played by Viggo Mortensen, tells her it's okay, there are no monsters, when, of course, we know there are. The setting is a small town in the Midwest, and Tom and his pretty, ex-cheerleader, now lawyer wife, Edie, played by Maria Bello, have a picture-perfect homestead. Tom is picture-perfect, too, with his sky-blue eyes and rangy diffidence. He owns a luncheonette on Main Street and pours coffee while chatting about the weather and would seem an image of Norman Rockwell purity if not for those killers from the opening, passing through town, in need of fast cash. And, well, I don't want to spell out what happens, here or anywhere else, because the film revolves around a big secret. Either Tom is not what he appears to be, or a bad case of mistaken identity is going to force him to become something other than a man of peace. By and by, three more bad men, dark-suited gangsters, saunter into that luncheonette. Their leader, played by Ed Harris, has a mottled, milky, dead eye, which nonetheless fastens on Tom.
Well, welcome to Stahl's. Would you gentlemen like some coffee?
You're the hero.
I don't know, sir.
You're the big hero. Sure took care of those two bad men.
Really don't like talking about it, sir. We're trying to get back to normal here. So can I offer you gentlemen some coffee?
Sure. Give me some coffee. Make it black.
Yes, sir.
Joey.
And your friends?
They don't drink coffee. Doesn't agree with them. Joey.
Joey.
You are.
My name's Tom, sir.
Of course it is.
That's a fascinating exchange, pitting Mortensen's tense easiness against Ed Harris's easy tension. Whether he's Joey or not, the heroic act of violence that put Tom in the public eye is going to beget more and more violence, and Cronenberg gives that violence a kinetic charge, as well as the tightness and compression of a frame in a great action comic, or its highbrow cousin, the graphic novel, like the one that this movie is based on. Those sudden bloody discharges are thrilling, even orgasmic, but they also leave you sickened. Because Cronenberg cuts briefly in an extra frame, like a comic book's, to men with heads shattered and faces beaten literally to bloody pulps. But here's the thing. Those extra frames don't sicken us morally. Even though A History of Violence is suffused with loss, it's in every bar of Howard Shore's gorgeous, elegiac score. The right people are always on the right end of the right kind of violence. A History of Violence does have dissonances. When a police chief warns the gangsters that the town, quote, protects its own, he's both reassuring and unnerving. It might protect them from people like us, too. Two remarkable sex scenes add wrinkles. The first is a piece of nostalgic play-acting, for which Edie dons her cheerleader outfit and Tom services her lovingly. The second is its opposite, a virtual rape that is explosively unresolved. Maria Bello gives the film an emotional core, and Mortensen's transitions are so subtle that you almost buy his incredible character. Ed Harris and later William Hurt give bravura performances, laugh-out-loud hammy, but with shockingly vicious undercurrents. That's how I think of this movie, too, hammy and shockingly vicious. But what strikes some critics as complexity feels to me like shame, the shame of David Cronenberg, an uncompromising director whose bloodshed has always been morally disturbing, doing simple-minded pulp violence, and, like his protagonist, doing it just a little too triumphantly.
David Edelstein is film critic for Slate. Fresh Air's executive producer is Danny Miller. Our engineer is Audrey Bentham. Dorothy Farabee is our administrative assistant. Roberta Shorrock directs the show. WHYY's executive producer of national radio programming is Elizabeth Perez Luna. Our theme music was composed by Joel Forrester and performed by the Microscopic Septet. For Terry Gross, I'm Dave Davies.